right. Hello. Welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And we're on Channel B tonight, but you don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is click on the little arrow there and you can listen to us. Wait a minute. If you haven't done that already, you can't hear me, can you? Anyway, hey, Tim.
Evening, Rick.
How are you?
Much better. Much better.
Okay, well, we don't need to know all the details. You understand that? Oh, man. Interesting week, sports-wise. We're going to talk with Masconomet High School hockey coach Andrew Jackson. They won again tonight. A big win against Newburyport, 5-2. They beat Gloucester in overtime last Saturday to give Gloucester its first defeat. But I think it was a score of 4-3. And in case you didn't know it, you don't get a point for a tie anymore in high school hockey. You play the overtime. I guess it's one overtime. Maybe you do after the overtime. I'll have to ask Coach Jackson. But you play an overtime, and the team that wins in overtime gets to 2 points, and the team that doesn't. So that's kind of new, and I don't like it myself. I go back to the old 1 point, one tie thing that I was brought up with, and whatever. Anyway, we got that. We've got excuse me. We've got the Sports Writers podcast tomorrow here on MSO News Sports that you really must pay attention to and check in on. This week, Bill Newell and the Sports Writers share their early season sports surprises for the North Shore. That'll be dropping tomorrow at about 8 a.m. And the sports team provides insight on how area high school teams and fans are dealing with COVID-19 at this point. Peabody girls hockey coach Michelle Roach has been named the MIAA 2021 Girls Hockey Coach of the Year. And there'll be more information on that from Bill Newell on the website tomorrow, as he'll be hosting Phil Stacey, the Salem News Executive Sports Director, Matt Williams, the Assistant Sports Editor, Nick Giannino, Sports Writer for the Salem News, and Gloucester Times Sports Editor, Nick Kukuru. That's the high school stuff. We've got, of course, Alabama-Georgia. We've got the Dogs and the Tide tonight at 8 o'clock. We don't have them, but everybody can watch that. And you got your Bruins tonight, you got your Celtics tonight, and of course you had your disappointing Patriots yesterday. So Tim, where do you stand on all of this stuff?
Rooting for Alabama. I can't believe the Pats have laid 3 eggs in a row against teams we thought they should have done better against. You know, really needed to build the momentum going into the playoffs. You already secured the playoffs, but not to secure, you know, you could have won the division with the win yesterday. Not doing it, coming out as flat as they did once again, trying to play from behind, got close, but then the god-awful end to the game, which I didn't even see because, I turned it off, and then I just happened to turn it back, and I was seeing a replay, and they were talking about the score being 33. I'm thinking, wait a minute, they were just down by 3. And then I saw the hilarity of the play. I'm thinking, I'm sorry, the Pats don't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
they thinking.
Yeah, that, and
there's a lot of things to correct.
Yeah.
They got a lot of refocusing to do, you know, for next week, next Saturday. So, you know, here's hoping maybe they can, you know, surprise the Bills.
Well, they need my thing is Tim. I really think they need the quote signature unquote game from Mac Jones. And if he doesn't have it this year, it's understandable. They're playing. You know, we all know they have a tough time playing from behind. The pick six in the first quarter. You're down 14-0 before the game even starts. Hello, but he doesn't quit. That kid does not give up on anything.
Oh, no, you know, and you can't blame him for the loss this year. Has he thrown picks? You know, Trevor Lawrence has thrown more picks than he has. You know, so, I mean, the kid has played way beyond, I think, almost everybody's expectation. He knew he could be good. Well, he was better than just good.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there were so many breakdowns, such a lack of discipline on the part of the offensive line, the defensive line, on a punt play, you're in the neutral zone. What are you doing? You know, and all these things led to points. It's like, come on. You're supposed to be better than this. You're supposed to be better disciplined than this, because that's what they preach. And then not to do it. And I'm going to say, you know, the refs have been skipping them all year long as well. I mean, you look at the calls yesterday.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
A guy on the other side of the field throws a flag, you know, on a play where there's not even contact with the guy's helmet.
I know.
And that continues the drive. They were going to get the ball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I'm sure Kraft is on the phone going, what the hell are you guys doing?
Well, I'll tell you, to me, the biggest disappointment of the entire evening was when I think they had a fourth and inches. And instead of just going up to the line of scrimmage and pumping it in, they try to draw the other team off sides. And like, what? Fourth and inches, you got the best running game in the universe, and you try to draw and that to me was like, what are you doing? And that was very disappointing.
Several times this year, Rick, and instead of going out, you know, and punching the other team in the mouth, he hasn't done it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, really? I mean, what are you doing?
Well, you know,
this isn't the way we play. Why are you being so cautious here? It's like he was setting him up to lose at times.
The other call that I thought was incredibly bogus was Matt Judon's roughing the passer. Are you kidding me?
Oh, God!
Are you going to be kidding me?
He pulls his shirt, and he whips the quarterback, whips himself around.
I know. He said it was like a little breeze blew by, and oh, my God, I'm wounded. Well, that one's in the books. We'll see what happens next. And, you know, it's they've given us some great moments this year. I'm not giving up on them. And yesterday was disappointing, but they got another one to go.
They do. There's a lot of teams that are going home, and we saw, you know, four of their coaches get fired today.
Oh, wow.
You know, amongst Brian Flores, I think, which surprised a lot of people.
He got fired?
Yeah, Flores.
Oh, wow.
Today.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, he had the comment. He was sick. I don't blame him.
Who else has beaten Bill Belichick four times in a row? Come on.
I know.
Hello. Damn.
That was Pat Nagy from the Bears. The Eagles coach got sacked. And
no way. Tomlin's gone. No, not Tomlin. Tomlin's Pittsburgh. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, the Vikings coach got sacked as well.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, you know, no matter how it works out, they gave us a lot of, they teased us that they could be a really good team. They may still be, but it's been a fun ride so far.
Oh, it certainly has. I mean, going with Jones and dumping, you know, Fancy Pants was the correct decision. You know?
I think I still admire the kid's, I don't know what to call it, but he never cashes it in. Sure, he gets upset, he gets disappointed, but he never, ever cashes it in. He keeps coming back, and, you know, that's going to hold him in good stead down the road.
Oh, certainly, yes. I mean, you're not going to find a lot of people criticizing him. You know, I think the law of destiny maybe played him out of the offensive rookie of the year.
I'm okay with that. That's okay. So what?
Oh, and I don't think he's even concerned about that.
Right.
So.
Well, let's see where they go. All right, Tim, we're going to take a break. Masconomet now is, I believe, 7-1 overall. They're unbeaten in the Northeastern Conference. They won a big game this afternoon against Newburyport 5-2, but the big game was on Saturday. I can't wait to talk to Coach Jackson about that. When the Chieftains beat Gloucester 4-3, and I'm not going to call it an upset because they were both unbeaten coming into that game. So we'll check that out, and of course we got our usual suspects, Gary Larrabee at the bottom of the hour talking mostly golf, and then Mike Grenier will check in with basketball a little bit after that, and talk about a tease. What the Celtics are doing is I don't even know how to describe it. So we'll be right back. You're listening to MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night. We'll be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Okay, we're back with Masconomen High School hockey coach Andrew Jackson, along with Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And coach, first of all, congratulations on the win today. Tell me a little bit about this game over Newburyport that pushes you guys to what, 7-1?
Yes, sir, 7-1. Newburyport, old Cal rival. We'd like to keep them on the schedule now that we're in the NEC still because it's always a tough physical game, tough place to play up at the Graff, closer quarters, and yeah, we have a good history with them. So yeah, we always like to put them on the schedule.
Who was your offensive leaders tonight?
Captain Richard Guarino had a couple goals. His line had four of the five goals actually. So Joe Young, Josh Brand, and Richie Guarino all scored, and Will Shannon scored his first varsity goal, so he's a good football player and a grinder for us. So it's good to see it spread out.
Alright, I want to get to your game against Gloucester, of course, and AJ Sacco, and among other guys, but before I do that, I want to ask you about the schedule, because it's a different year, it's a whole different setup now, like what that football went to with, you know, getting quality opponents and so on, and I'm looking at your schedule, and you know, you've had a couple of tough games out of conference already, including Bill Ricca and, Stoneham. You got St. John's Prep down the road. So tell me a little bit about setting up this schedule.
Yeah. We found out, you know, that we're going to go to the new seedings and power rankings. You know, we kind of all decided as a coaching staff, why not make it as difficult as possible and prepare us for hopefully the tournament. In D2, I think there's 41 teams, so you figure 32 of those make it. So hopefully we're one of those top 32, and, you know, the difficulty of schedule and the margin of victory really play a factor this year. So, you know, finally it got to oblige after a couple of years, and, you know, we play in the Stoneham tournament every year, which is, you know, always competitive. Got Fenwick on the schedule,
yep.
Andover, Lincoln Sudbury.
You know, I know, Lincoln Sudbury, I'm looking at that, and I'm like, holy cow, Lincoln Sudbury. That's a hell of a schedule, and that game's away, you have to travel to the Prep? No, the Prep's going to be home.
Prep's going to be home, and actually LS is coming. We scrimmaged LS a couple of years ago when they won it all, and it was competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we couldn't play each other last year, so we wanted to hook up this year, which is good.
Fantastic. All right, I'm going to bring Tim here in a second. I want to go to the Gloucester game because a lot of hype up in Gloucester about their offense. You know, obviously with, what's his name, Emerson, I can't think of his last name at the moment here. Emerson Marshall. Marshall, yeah. And of course, Jack Costanzo. But you guys had an amazing game, at least from a fan's point of view. So tell me how that one went and what your observations were about that game and critiquing it.
Yeah, we took too many penalties.
a coach's lament, okay.
Guys, yeah, those two guys are tough to handle. And they, you know, they drew some penalties, you know, nothing on the refs, you know, we were holding and had to keep up sometimes. You know, we had a couple guys out, but that's no excuse, everyone does these days. And I mean, they have two really, really strong lines, and, you know, they're putting in some serious points right now. So we just tried to weather the storm there with them. We know they're going to be tough to handle, and, you know, keeping them to three goals we consider as a moral victory. So.
in regulation, but then, but then you went on to win the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, AJ had a great, you know, AJ had a, couple of really good looks during the game. It was a little snake bit, and, you know, we had a nice face-off win. He had a great individual effort to win it. So it was a full team effort. It was good to see.
All right, Tim.
Coach, in the age of COVID and lockdowns, what's been your message to the kids to keep as many of them out of sick bay?
Stay away from Susie. try and mask up as much as possible. I know they have to in school. They have to, obviously, on the bus and in the ranks. But after that, you know, it's hard to control. But, obviously the holidays are a tough stretch, and I think a lot of teams are dealing with it coming out of the holiday break. But, I don't know. It's just trying to put yourself in good situations and take care of your body at home, too. You know, hydrate, eat the right things, vitamins, you know, do as much as you can within your power and control what you can control.
Has the school said anything about any kind of changes they may make to what the policies might be coming down the road where, you know, it's really not getting any better, but it seems to be getting worse?
Probably. Hopefully not. I follow strict orders from the school. We actually have a stricter policy right now, which is, makes it a little tough. So we have some guys out. We won't get back till Saturday. But, you know, it is what it is. I feel like every team's dealing with it right now. And you just, you know, hopefully limit the postponements. And, if a couple guys are out, you know, it stinks and it might give us a disadvantage or advantage. But I think a lot of coaches are like, you know, we want to get these games in. We don't want to postpone and make the end of the season a rat race here.
Andrew, you've had four games in 7 days.
Yeah.
How does that affect the kids? How does that affect the coaches?
We gave it all, obviously, up at Gloucester, and Newburyport gave us all we could handle as well. You know, it was a 3-1 game and in the third, so it wasn't, you know, 5-0 and they scored two late ones. It was a competitive game and very physical. So it's a tough stretch, but, our game with them was a postponement. So originally we had 3-7 and, you know, this was just the extra, which is good because we're able to usually roll three lines most nights and at least 5D. So I think it's a testament to our team depth and our guys' conditioning. So, it's a tough little stretch here.
I know. I'm looking at it like, holy cow.
We're off till Saturday, which is nice.
You know, the overtime did you guys okay, but what's your overall opinion about the overtime rule now?
I'd like to see, you know, I think Gloucester deserved a point there. You know, we get the two, they get the one.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Phil Stacey about it. You know, if you know you're going to get the one, I think teams would maybe play a little more aggressively, you know, maybe with three forwards and one D rather than 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
You might see some up and down a little more and some more offense and be a little more exciting. Of course, AJ's play was very exciting.
Yeah, 9 seconds in, yeah. Hello.
Yeah, there was a lot of space on the ice because we had a power play, so it was a 4-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
So, we figured why not. I think we had a defenseman and three forwards on the ice at that point.
Now, what's AJ, a sophomore?
Yeah, no, it's exciting. AJ's a sophomore, yep.
Okay. Yeah, I lament the loss of the 1 point. All right, I think before I give Tim the final baton here, tell us a little bit about your captains and your alternates, and start with Richard Guarino.
Yeah, Richard's a four-year varsity guy. He's a football captain, just super great character guy. He anchors our, you know, second line and penalty kill, just does all the right things for us. Our alternates are the McMillan brothers, Matt and Nick. Matt plays, I mean, he's probably one of the best defensemen we've seen all year. We've had some pretty good opponents, and Matt's probably the top D. He's been great. And Nick is a right wing on the first line. He's just a buzzsaw for us. And then Josh Brand had a goal and a couple assists tonight. He had a great game tonight. He's on the line with Richie. and then O'Grady, Chris O'Grady, center in our top line, top power play unit, excellent penalty killer. I call him Coach O'Grady, just very cerebral player. We throw him back on D sometimes, so we're lucky. We got a really, really great senior class, and these guys are all in. So
tremendous, Tim.
Coach, more of a comment than a question. Before Maskell came into the Northeastern Conference, there were a lot of coaches who, you know, really didn't want to see Maskell. You've been really successful in the Cape Inn, and you always produce really strong teams. And I think there were teams within the conference itself that didn't want to have to face Maskell once or twice a year. But I want to compliment, you know, not only yourself and the hockey program, but all the programs in Maskell for coming in and being yourself, of not backing down, of showing just what quality the Maskell student athletes are. And I think it's done nothing but good for the Northeastern Conference.
Yeah, I know. We like being a part of it. Geographically, it's a little easier too. And I think, you know, competitively, I know football had a bunch of the fall teams had good seasons, and you know, I mean, we had a pretty good year last year too. But yeah, it's competitive. I mean, Marblehead's good this year. Danvers got a good squad. Beverly just knocked off Danvers tonight. So obviously Gloucester, Winthrop's always a very difficult game. So yeah, we like it. It's very competitive. It's fun. We miss our old Cape Ann League foes. So we got Linfield, Triton, and Newburyport on the schedule this year still. But it's been great so far.
Yeah, Linfield's off to another great start.
Yeah, they got a great squad. I think they brought back 17, 18 guys. So yeah, we got them in a couple weeks or maybe a month. So that'll be a good game.
Yeah, I love talking to the Twin Towers over there. Those guys are great.
They're great. Yeah, we bounce ideas off each other. Great guys.
Cool. I love that. Great. Great talking with you, Andrew. Get some rest, man, and let the boys have a little rest before the next game.
Yeah, can you tell? I got no voice at the end of
I hear you.
Games in 7 days.
I know. Thanks for taking the time, Coach. Get some rest.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Tim.
Talk to you later. All right, that is Maskenomen High School boys hockey coach Andrew Jackson, who sounds exhausted. I would think he would be, man. That's a lot of stuff going on there. Tim, I don't know. You and I haven't talked about that that rule, but I don't like it. I don't like the tie rule where you have to play for a win, and after regulation, you don't get a point if you lose. I don't like that.
No, and I wish they'd go back to 5-on-5 as well. Yeah, you know, I know there's a lot of hope. They want to see open ice, you know, open up opportunities. I think they think it produces faster goals. The more men you have on the ice, the more guys that can score.
Yeah.
You know, go back to the old way. Make it 5-on-5. Make it 2-and-1. You know, because there was nothing wrong with the way that they were doing it before. I don't know who came up with this idea. You know, change's sake,
you know,
isn't always the change.
I gotta ask Phil next time I see him, Phil Stacey, because I don't either. I read a lot about it and I can't remember. I don't even know who really approves of it. I have to sneeze. Oh, I know. It's their idea, and I have to sneeze in a second here. Excuse me. So Richie Guarino had a couple of goals tonight. Other goals scored by Brand had a couple, and Santangelo had one apparently. So those are the five goals for the Maskenomen Chieftains as they won tonight 5-2 over Newburyport, and they are now 7-1 overall. So I'm trying to think here. Wow. I'm looking at a depth chart that I used to be able to figure out here. Maskenomen's got their depth chart up here. It's great, man. You don't even have to do anything. Just go to the website and you can grab all this stuff. That's fantastic.
Well, we know how good you are at technology, Rick.
Look who's talking.
I can talk because I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah. Kettle, meat, pot, you know. Okay. Okay, I guess we'll take a break here, and then noticeably we haven't talked any baseball or anything like that, Red Sox or Major League Baseball. I don't think there's any reason to do so, except what's your opinion of all this, Tim? I haven't read anything about where this thing is going.
Oh, the lockout?
Yeah.
I don't think they've even locked them out.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about baseball at all.
It's been very, very quiet. I think both sides are deliberately keeping their mouths shut, you know.
Well, that's unusual.
To prevent anything from being said that will just mess up any kind of work they are doing. And so obviously they're doing a lot of work behind the scenes and hope to probably come out with a joint statement at some point that resolves the issue. It's going to be interesting to see, what they do come up with and who's going to crack first.
Mm. Okay. All right. And again, you got your Bruins tonight. You got your Celtics tonight. And, of course, the college football championship is at 8 o'clock tonight, Alabama and Georgia. You're going with Alabama, you said?
I'm going Bama.
All right, I have to say, how about them dogs? I got to go with the dogs. So we'll see. What was the other thing I wanted to say here? All right, we'll take a break. Gary Larrabee is on deck next, and then we'll have Mike Grenier later on with his opinions about where the Celtics are headed. And all of that coming up here on North Shore Sports Night. And don't forget, of course, tomorrow night, we will have at 8 a.m. on the website, we'll be dropping the Salem News podcast. So we'll be back in just a second here with Gary Larrabee. Stay with us. Appreciate it.
The North Shore is listening to MSONewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, Executive Sports Editor at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Alrighty then, we are back with Gary Larrabee, sports writer, golf writer, sports historian. Tim Kearns, our MSO super analyst, is here. Bill Proposky is pushing the buttons from somewhere remotely, and I'm just kind of sitting in here. So, Gary, welcome back. How are you?
Great to be with you guys on this very chilly January night.
Ooh. Yeah, it's not golfing weather tonight, but I suppose if you're down under, you could probably get a visa and try to play down there.
There you go. Although all I'm thinking about when I have this cold weather, guys, I just think about golf. I think about a couple of my best rounds last summer, and I'm all warm and fuzzy.
Hey, Tim, is you all warm and fuzzy over there?
When I think of rounds of golf, nothing gets warm and nothing gets fuzzy.
Oh, jeez.
It's actually chilling the way that I play.
Anyways, Tim, what did you think of the climactic and very dramatic final round of the Tournament of Champions just out in Hawaii?
Great. I liked your comment about Cameron Smith and his hairdo. I'm looking at a picture of him on ESPN and looks like, whoa. My door on Halloween, I'll tell you.
And I can't think of another player who's won a tour event in the last, I'm going to say, 10 years, who had quite that much head of hair, although I know that John Daly had quite a mop on his sphere when the last time he won. But the kid's a real player. As you know, he's from Australia. He's been a contender in a couple of majors last year. He won a tournament of two, if I remember correctly, obviously, to be playing in Hawaii, and the kids fought off the U.S. Open champion and the as well as the, well, that's really the only player he had to, well, he had to fight off Matt Jones too. They both finished.
Oh, yes, did he?
I'm sorry?
I thought Matt Jones was playing football yesterday. That could have been why he was off.
That's Mac is in the hamburger. This is Matt. M-A-T-T is in the placemat.
Yeah, you know, look at it. I mean, Gary, 34 under par, really? And three guys under 30?
Well, the golf course...
How easy was that course?
Well, obviously it was very soft. They were playing Target Golf all 4 days. The winds... Those beautiful trade winds that Hawaii is famous for did not affect the play, and it was shoot as low as you can. Justin Thomas, you may saw, shot 61 and didn't finish in the top five.
I mean, Harris English is 14 under. Normally, a score you would think would win a tournament. Oh, he's tied for 30th. It's like, no, really?
You're right. In fact, I stand corrected, Tim. Justin Thomas did finish tied for fifth at 25 under, but the story of the day was Cameron Smith, the story of the week. And this kid's got some serious game, and we're going to be watching him in contention this year, I think, as the majors approach. Not for a while, but... And John Rahm still amazes me. He has one of the quickest swings out there, but he gets it done all the time.
You know, Smith even had kind of a shaky start to yesterday's round, correct?
I don't know, but if you say so, I'm sure it's true.
Oh, God.
Anyways, they're still in Hawaii this week. The rest of the usual suspects come in to Hawaii. It's a full field event. But as we may have mentioned last week, no Dustin Johnson and no Rory McIlroy, but beyond those two, everybody else was out there, including Phil Mickelson, who didn't have much of a week, but lots of good players couldn't shoot low enough to keep up with Smith, Rahm, or Jones, and we'll have to see how this evolves this week. On one of the other islands, and see how it evolves.
Yeah, what a great life these guys have. Okay, we want you guys to go to Hawaii for about a month and start the year's tournament, and then you can come back and sit on the West Coast for a few weeks and play some golf there. Unbelievable. What a great life.
Well, you know, they're living the dream. They all admit it. They all know what they're playing for, gazillions of months of dollars every week. Even the Corn Ferry Tour gets off to a great start, including Rob Oppenheim from our own North Shore. They kick off in the Bahamas on Sunday. They play Sunday through Thursday, obviously, starting next weekend. Kind of an odd start, but even the Corn Ferry guys, the minor leaguers, get to play in the Bahamas to start their season.
Nice.
They have to pay their own way in terms of getting to the tournaments, or is there a pool of money available to them?
I think they're on their own, but they don't feel too sorry for those guys either. But they earn their way, and that's what it's all about in golf. You know, you have to do it on your own, and if you play well enough, you get all these wonderful rewards. If you don't, you struggle.
You know, one headline I saw on ESPN, the U.S. Women's Open will now have a purse of $10 million.
Yes, the U.S.
As it's been.
That's correct. It's it was a big week for news from the USGA. They announced they now have the venues for the next 10 U.S. Women's Open right through 2031. And they're increasing the purse, as you say, almost doubling the purse from $5.5 million to $10 million this year. They're going to go up to $12.5 million, I believe, in another 3 or 4 years, which brings us very nicely to our next topic. Talking last few days with Kevin McIntyre, the new president at Salem Country Club, and Bill Rocco, the course superintendent. The club conducted a $3 million plus restoration project last fall, and they got it all done thanks to Mother Nature cooperating weather-wise. They got a few minor things to tweak this year, guys, but as I, you may remember me talking about it previously, and I may have written about it as well, this ends a $4.5 million renovation project, restoration, if you will, that began back in 2016 when they restored all of their greens to the original Donald Ross shape and size, which would lead into the 2017 U.S. Senior Open.
Mm-hmm.
And now having get this project pretty well done, led by Eric Iverson from the Tom Doak construction design company called Renaissance Golf Design. They're one of the best in the business. I speculate, guys, we're getting no feedback on any of this from any Salem officials, that this will put the club in prime position to be approached by USGA officials about another tournament, most likely a senior open. I'm sure you're going to see some USGA officials visiting Salem either before or after the U.S. Open is played at the country club in June, we hope. Pandemic notwithstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be picking up maybe some news before the end of the year on what the seventh and next USGA championship might be at Salem Country Club.
That'll be cool. That was so much fun over there. I can't believe it's almost 4 years ago now already. My goodness. Jeez.
Gary.
Tim.
The original. In returning to the original Donald Ross design for the greens, will they be more symmetrical, or will they be enlarged, or is it to varying degrees? Some got bigger, some got smaller. The shape changed.
No, most of them got larger. They returned to a more of a square shape. You look at many of Ross's early designs, and having his best golf courses in America. For whatever reason, he made his greens more rectangular in shape than circular. But over the course of the years, just the normal evolution of the way greens are maintained and how they are cut, they end up losing a little bit of their space, and they shrink a little bit. But this is now not the case with the Salem greens, which this project was done, as I said, back in 2016. And they did a little more tweaking over last fall. It's going to be a fantastic experience just to see how they did a little bit of tweaking with the greens, and they did all the bunkers over. They did extended a lot of tees. To get the golf course measuring more than 7,000 yards. And I think you just put Salem in a great position to get into some serious conversations with the USGA once the USGA people get a good look at the golf course next late spring or early summer. And I won't be surprised if there's some big news coming out of Salem before the end of next year. Or this year, I should say. This year.
That'd be great. I want to get another lanyard for going over there and seeing those guys. That was so much fun, so cool to be up close and personal with them. Gary, before we let you go, have you played golf in Hawaii?
I have not.
You have not. That's a surprise. I thought you might have. What about over at St. Andrews? Have you been over there?
No, but I played Ireland. I played Old Head a couple of times. I played some of the great Irish courses through Ron Kirby, of course, who's the Beverly boy who designed Old Head. I've been over there a couple times. And
wow.
We're going to get to Hawaii one of these days. My brother, who's the club pro up at Eastern Golf Links up in New Hampshire, that's his bucket list of the ultimate golf trip to go to Hawaii.
Absolutely.
Although Rick, my bucket list is to, at this point, go to Bandon Dunes out in Oregon, which I have been told by some of my golf buddies is even a better experience than going anywhere in the British Isles, hard to believe.
Is that right?
They tell me. Yeah.
Oh. I had breakfast at the PGA place, and it was either Maui or Kauai because we went to both golf courses. I don't play golf, and I was just I would think that you got to go there. All right, so go to Oregon and tell us about it.
I played golf in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Okay.
And Mexico has become a fantastic trip, right, Tim?
Oh, it was a great trip. It was my honeymoon. And myself and one of the guys that we met, we went out golfing. We had to go at 6 o'clock in the morning so we could get the round done before the heat killed us.
But is that your third or fourth honeymoon?
Wife's not around. Second.
Oh, okay.
No, but Mexico, the Mexican Caribbean, as you guys probably know, is becoming a fantastic golf destination as well.
No, I didn't, but I do now. All right, Gary, when's your column start up again in the Salem News?
Not till the 1st of April, but hey, that's right around the corner, right?
Yeah, well, it is. You know, like I said last week, we're going to start seeing the Masters commercials here on CBS here pretty soon.
They've already started.
I missed it. All right. Well, there you go. So, yeah, it's on its way. All right, Gary, anything else?
No, but stay warm, stay safe, and stay smart.
I don't know about the smart stuff, but the other stuff we can try.
Are you recovered, Rick, from that surprising hockey upset, though, the other day? Yesterday, lost or losing?
You know, we just talked to Andrew Jackson, the Masco coach, tonight. And according to Phil Stacey's report, it was one amazing, great high school hockey game.
It certainly sounds like I'm a basketball Christian, as you know, but I would have loved to have watched that game because hockey can bring out the best in our high school athletes around here.
I think it's great, and all our high school stuff is. And part of the reason I got into this stuff was reading you and Mike and all those guys in the Salem News for so many years. So thank you still to be so much a part of this, Gary. We really appreciate it.
Thrilled to be a part of it still, let me tell you.
Amen. Amen. Be well, Gary.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
Talk to you later. That's Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, it was great, Tim, going over to the seniors. I can't believe that's 4 years ago now over the Salem Country Club. That was amazing. My favorite was, I can't think of his name now. Bernhard Langer. I love watching him play.
Oh, I read a quote yesterday. From John Daly, and Gary mentioned about Bernhard Langer. And Daly was saying, I outdrive the guy by 20, 30 yards on every shot, and he still kicks my ass.
That's amazing. Well, you saw him, and it's like it's just incredible. Okay, we need to pause for a second here, and then we'll check in with Mike Grenier. I'll get it started with my thoughts on the Celtics, and then Tim and Mike will bat it around, and Mike will take over, I'm sure, and give us his thoughts. Maybe check in on Pat Connaughton and the rest of the NBA, Tom Thibodeau for the New York Knicks and so on. But we'll discuss all that here in a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Okay, here we go with our final segment, bringing back sports writer Mike Grenier and our resident expert on all things basketball. Mike, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, doing all right, except for having a heartbreak with the Patriots losing again yesterday, and like now they're in a slotted position where they got to go to Buffalo. Not exactly ideal for the Patriots, you know?
You know, I guess as I've gotten older, I get my frustration out watching the game, and then afterwards I kind of reflect and think, hey, you know what? It's still been a lot of fun this season. And they're still playing. So, yeah, yesterday was a major disappointment, but they're still playing.
They're still playing, you're right. A lot of teams, I mean, look at the Dolphins. They had a pretty good season overall, and they're not playing next weekend, and they fire Brian Flores, the coach who, at least I thought, did a good job to get them to 9-8 this year, and they had, at one point they had a 7-game winning streak. I kind of don't understand, but that's down in Miami, and we don't know what's going on down there.
Well,
but anyway,
I hope they bring him back.
Yeah. But basketball-wise, the Celtics have another big game tonight, right? Indiana Pacers. And they're sitting there at 19-21. And Rick, like you like to say at the beginning, on every Monday night now the last few weeks, they're nothing but a 500 team. Well, right now, they're nothing but the 19-21 team.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me ask you, Mike, before I let you and Tim bat it around. The thing with me and the Celtics is the tease that they do when they play well, because it shows you that they've got some talent, they can play well, they rebounded against the Knicks after probably the worst game that the Celtics have ever played in history. You know, Jaylen Brown, I watched the comments with Jaylen Brown afterwards, how intelligent and thoughtful he is.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed, and I said, man, I hope this guy makes it all the way, because he is just so great to listen to. So they tease you. You know, Robert Williams just, oh, my God, he's a beast when he plays good basketball. And then they revert to their old ways. But the thing I want to ask you about, maybe Tim can chime in too, is how M.A. Udoka is handling this, because he's come right out a couple of times and said, these guys suck. In so many words. He said that.
Who has said this now?
The coach.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes. Yeah, he's sort of like been trying to be the tough guy. He's trying to project that image as a tough guy and calling for accountability, which is a kind of a different approach than Brad Stevens, who was kind of soft on his guys in terms of he would take the blame and not assess blame on the players as much. That was his personality, and obviously Ime Udoka is trying to make an impression here as a rookie coach. And, of course, the players encouraged him in the preseason, Rick, to be tough on them. And that's precisely what he's trying to do now. But he's learning on the job, and I think we're learning that in terms of, Tim, you could chime in on this, their fourth quarter deficiencies. They rank near the bottom of the league, both offensively and defensively, like somewhere around 25th, 26th, in offensive and defensive efficiency in the fourth quarter. And that's directly related to Udoka overplaying his starters. And they're getting gassed in the fourth quarter. And
ooh, interesting,
that's why they're having these epic collapses in the fourth quarter, because I think guys are playing too many minutes in the other three quarters, and they're trying to expand what they're doing in the fourth quarter. And basically, they haven't been up to the task in the fourth quarter of so many games lately. We saw that ridiculous collapse against the Knicks the other night, up 25 points. They lost the game. There's been other games that are very similar to that Knicks game where they've had huge leads and blown them in the fourth quarter.
You know, like, part of the problem also is fourth quarter discipline.
Yeah.
Where they get leads and they don't play smart. You know?
Right.
And,
right.
That, I think, is you add in that there's a bit of fatigue and you don't play discipline. Is the fatigue bringing on the lack of discipline? You know, they're supposed to be professionals. They're supposed to be smart basketball players. Well, you know, if you're allowing yourself to keep blowing these large leads after halftime, you're not a very smart basketball team. And does that reflect back to the coach? Yeah, to a degree. But each of these guys will tell you, oh, well, you know, I know how to do this. Well, you're not showing that you know how to do it. So it's
right.
Time to
right.
Sit down, slap yourself up the side of your own head, and start making smart plays. Start playing within yourself. Start playing within the offense, and look at what the other team is doing, and come out on top. Because right now, the teams that you're losing to in these second half collapses, a team you should be walking all over them. Because
I agree. Oh yeah, I agree.
And what's going to happen down the line? Nobody fears you in the second half of the game.
That's right. And Tim, you know, you point that out about being smart in the fourth quarter, and you know, we all like what Marcus Smart does defensively and his hustle, and I would put Robert Williams up there in terms of overall hustle in all the minutes he plays. But when you have Marcus Smart taking the important shots in the fourth quarter, which in a couple of these losses, he's been guilty of taking 5 or 6 3-pointers in the fourth quarter, which is something he should never do. So that's underscores what you're saying about playing with intelligence in the fourth quarter. And you want to get the ball to, you know, Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, or even Schroeder, who's had a pretty good year overall. You want them taking the fourth quarter 3-pointers because you don't want Marcus Smart taking it. You don't want Al Horford, who's shooting 28% from the 3-point area, taking those fourth quarter 3-pointers. So that underscores exactly what you've been talking about. You want the right guys taking those shots in the fourth quarter. And that's part of the reason for the downfalls in the fourth quarter, which has been pretty consistent over the last month. The fourth quarter troubles have stayed with them for the past month or so. And, you know, and you look at the Celtics overall, Rick and Tim, and 3 years ago when they were on the upswing with these young guys, they finished 55-27, okay? 55-27 and second in the Eastern Conference. 2 years ago, when COVID began to interrupt the season, they were 48-24. You know, a little, so not quite as good as the previous year. Last year, they were 36-36.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, they're 19-31. So something is amiss here. And yeah, they've shuffled some players in and out of the, off their roster. And is this a downward trend that's going to continue? Because right now, they're in 10th place in the Eastern Conference, which means they would be in the play-in game to even make the playoffs, the top 18. So something's not right with this team, and it's been trending downwards for the last 2 years.
Mike, the thing, you know, we look, the two big stars are there. Smart is still there. They seem to have gotten rid of the second-tier guys.
Correct.
That made a whole lot more in contributions to the success of the team than the guys that they went out and got after they let these other guys go.
Right, right. And that's a two-pronged... I'm sorry, I don't need to interrupt. Go ahead.
To me, the chemistry was totally altered with this team when they went about, you know, just dismantling the backups.
That's
the
right.
Team.
That's right, and you make a good point there, because like you said, the complementary players, the guys that would go along with the two young stars, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you had Marcus Morris, who was a veteran, who could give you 15, 20 points a game. That's when they were reaching the Eastern Conference Final 3 or 4 years ago. You had Terry Rozier, who was playing right now and been playing well for the Charlotte Hornets, who was giving you a lot of points. You had Aaron Baines, kind of a rugged guy underneath, who'd give you some points and some rebounds. You had Daniel Tice, who was underneath, who could give you rebounds and hustle and a couple of block shots. All those guys are gone now. And so part two is, who do you replace them with? Well, Danny Ainge obviously whiffed on some drafts, because Romeo Langford has been a complete waste in his third year now. He's either always injured or he's not performing like a first rounder should. You have Aaron Nesmith, who's in his second year, who they put in Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, sending him down to, you know, the WooSox if you're a baseball player. I mean, a guy who was drafted 14th overall.
Single leg.
First round, and he ends up going to Maine for a couple of days. That shows you that draft pick by Danny Ainge, he's just had a history of the last few years. He had all these assets, like so-called assets. And they haven't really turned into anything good. The guys he's drafted are peripheral players who just barely come off the bench and give you 6 or 8 minutes. They don't replace guys like Marcus Morris. They don't replace Daniel Tice. They don't replace the effectiveness of guys like that. And that's been part of the problem for the continued free fall of the Celtics.
You know, that's a point I wanted to ask you about, because I remember a couple of years ago, back in the time frame you mentioned, you know, Ainge had all these so-called assets. He had tremendous numbers of draft picks that were way high up there. and everybody was saying, man, he's going to get free agents, he's going to do this and do that. What the hell happened?
What the heck happened is these guys didn't pan out. You know, you take Carson Edwards, for example. He packaged some players. He lost some players that are now playing well for other teams, young players, and they made some wrong choices, obviously. Carson Edwards came along, a kid from Purdue who shot the lights out in the NCAA tournament. He turned out to be a bust. He's out of basketball, basically, or in the G League. Tremont Waters, this little 5'10" guy out of LSU, that didn't work out for him. And then, you know, you had Gershon Yabusele, who was taken in the first round, a guy out of France. He came in looking like he'd been eating all of France, you know? And he was just this overweight guy who wasn't going to make it. You could tell just by watching him for 5 minutes. And sure enough, they kept him around for a year, and then they had to cut him. The guys that Ainge chose, and, you know, the guys who Brad Stevens tried to work into the lineup, it just didn't pan out. And they made some really bad decisions in terms of who they brought in here.
We've got a few minutes left, Mike. I'm sorry for interrupting, but speaking of eating all of France, what about Zion? What's the story down there?
Zion Williamson apparently had a setback three or four weeks ago. I guess you must have mentioned him because Yabusele was a chunky guy. But he won't be back for a while. It's kind of nice, though, I'll tell you what, though, to see Klay Thompson back after everything he's been through, Golden State Warriors. He missed basically 2.5 years with two devastating injuries. And he comes back in a couple nights ago and scores 17 points in 20 minutes. And they have the best record in the NBA, the Golden State, 30-9. So guys can, when you see guys come back from really career-threatening injuries, that's a great thing.
Yes, of course, of course.
You know, but Zion Williamson's not close to coming back yet. I think he's got to work, and you know, he's got to work on his conditioning because again, he was overweight from the time he entered the league.
Yeah, and he got bigger between the time he finished college and the time he went into the league, and that's
no doubt about it.
That's
no
concerning.
Doubt about it. And, you know, so we still haven't solved the Celtics problems yet, and I could tell you one thing on the local level: Pat Connaughton, who was out on COVID protocol, is finally, you know, he missed 2 or 3 games. He's back and playing tonight with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Great, great. Tim, final thoughts with Mike.
Mike, I have to say, I saw on Twitter a compilation of Pat getting slapped in the face and going to the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
It was hilarious. It was about 8 different instances where he gets slapped in the face, elbowed in the face, and down he goes.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. And you know what? I should mention, guys, on a local level, Scoonie Penn, who you Rick, you probably met, you might have done
the
Salem High game.
We did.
Title,
yeah, we did.
1995. And he's an assistant coach with the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, there's a team. You and I can't even mention 3 guys. We don't even know 3 guys. But they've won 9 in a row. They're, like, on a pace to win 53, 54 games. They're in 4th place in the Western Conference. And no one even talks about these. You can get tickets for $4 or $5 down there.
Nope.
That's how unknown they are. But yet, they're overachievers. And I point that out because the Celtics have been underachievers with the sort of like all-star caliber roster names that they have. And yet you look at this Memphis team, and they're playing good basketball because they play together. And I've texted Scooney, and he's thrilled to be with that team as part of a growing franchise down there in Memphis.
That's tremendous. What's he doing? Is he assistant coach?
He's assistant coach. Been there his second year. They love him. He loves working. He still can relate to the players. He's only 43, 44 years old. So he's learning the ropes. He was at Ohio State, obviously, as an assistant there. And he was, you know, they cherry-picked him, and they felt he could do a good job in Memphis. And he's doing a great job.
The
team itself has been one of the surprise teams in the NBA, ranked 4th, and they're playing better than the Lakers and the Clippers and all these other teams that are supposed to be so great. They're just behind the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns right there. You know, they're kind of like a few games behind them, but they're in the top 4. In the Western Conference.
And where's Brunson now? What did he end up doing?
Jalen Brunson is having a tremendous year with the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
He's moved into a starting role, much better than his father ever was, Rick.
Oh, my.
He's had a 9-year career.
Uh-huh.
Kind of, you know, he hung around through sheer hard work. But his son, Jalen, possesses more natural talent. And Jalen's been scoring 15. It's very common to see him score anywhere from 15 to 25 points for the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, they're in the playoff hunt right now in the Western Conference. He's playing very well, Jalen Brunson.
That's amazing. That's great. When you know a kid who played high school here, you know, and made it to the bigs. And then he's got a kid who's even better. I mean, that's just so cool.
Of course, Jim, as we know, went to Villanova, won two national championships there. And he went in the second round. But I tell you what, he's been a tremendous addition to the Dallas Mavericks. And he's getting more and more playing time now. And he's taking advantage of it.
All right, guys, we got to go because we got Alabama, Georgia, we got the Bruins, and we got the Celtics. So we got to get our television eyes get ready here.
Now, Alabama, Georgia, this is the beginning of the NFL playoffs, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Have a great week, guys. Great talking to you,
Mike. What's the over under on the number of Georgia Alabama players we'll see in the NFL next year?
Oh, my God. It's got to be somewhere around 20.
I was going to say 20.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Right. You're hoping the Patriots can pick up a couple, because they've been good players, right?
They are.
Among others.
Barmore and Jones, yeah, not bad.
Yep.
Oh, hey, did you hear about the degree of Barmore's injury? Anybody?
Yeah, he's
yeah, supposedly it's not quite as bad as was first thought.
Right.
There was no major damage.
Right.
No major damage.
But no idea of, you know.
Availability. No, right. We don't know yet.
Right. Mike, it's great. We'll talk again next week.
Great.
Oh, wait. Hold on one second. I forgot. Next Monday's a holiday. Might be
2 weeks then, huh?
I might be skiing, so yeah, it could be 2 weeks.
Okay. All right, Tim, you take care of yourselves, guys. Both of you. Take care of yourselves.
Thank you, Mike. You as well.
Take care.
All right, so, yeah, Tim, I forgot that next week is it's our big ski weekend. We'll be home, but I'm not sure I'm going to be in any condition to do a Monday night program, so I'll let you know.
All right.
What are your final thoughts here, Coach? I mean, wrapping this thing up, so much good stuff, so much stuff, you know, meh.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing in the Red Sox, which is good. The Bruins are chugging along,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not as good as we'd hoped. The Celtics just continue to prove they are what they are.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
As Belichick said, you know, you are what your record says, and the record says under 500. So that's the kind of team that they are.
And I want to.
And then you go and you get, you know, the Patriots. How much did we expect? Well, we were hoping for a winning record. We got the winning record. We got back into the playoffs. We got an outstanding young quarterback. We got a running game that's getting better and better all the time. We got to get some smarter offensive and defensive linemen, it seems, at times. And we have to get a few calls going our way.
Yeah, that's
life's good.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And I think for those of us who can get to high school games and are allowed into high school games, it's a big week coming up. It's mid-season now. In all sports, there's so much to look at. Northeastern Conference, Cape End League, the Catholic schools. Get out there and support your team if you're able to, if they allow you to. And don't forget that the Salem News podcast, the Salem News Sports Writer podcast, will drop tomorrow at about 8 a.m. here on MSO News Sports with Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, Nick Kukuru. Those are the sports writers. And, of course, MSO's Bill Newell will be hosting. Going to talk about a lot of stuff. And also, if you go to the website tomorrow, you'll see a story on Michelle Roach, who has been named the MIAA 2021 Girls Hockey Coach of the Year, and she coaches at Peabody. So all good stuff. Tim, thank you so much, man. Have another safe week.
All right, Rick. We'll talk to you next week or the week after.
Very good. Thanks, Coach. Take care.
All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right.
That's Tim Kearns, our MSO super sports analyst and super nice guy. Appreciate it. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. Bill Newell is our Mr. Everything here, of course, at MSO. And we thank you all for joining in. Any other thoughts here? Nope. Just check us out tomorrow for all the good stuff that will be up on MSONewsSports.com. On behalf of Bill and Tim and Bill, I'm Rick Moore, wishing you a very pleasant good evening. This is MSONewsSports.com.